stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome in to episode 42 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. Feel free to reach out to me, ask me any questions, and if you missed it, go check out America's Game on the same podcast feed from this week. I sit down with Eric and we talk through Dynasty startups and all the ways that I utilize my own tools in order to give myself an advantage. All you need to do is scroll back a couple days, and you will find it sitting right there ready for you to listen. This week, I'm continuing my series on finding how many players at each position you need if you're going to build a roster spot out of entirely backups. This week is all about the wide receivers. The wide receivers is the position that I'm sure many people are hoping has great results. The wide receiver position is one where you need to spend a lot of your draft capital, kind of like quarterbacks. And quarterbacks, we found a successful strategy. So wide receivers, let's see if we can find a similar one. For this entire episode, I am only going to include wide receivers who are outside of the top 50 for week 1 projections. However, there is one wide receiver in this data set who is outside the top 50 that I'm also going to cut out, and that is T. Higgins. I would have expected T. Higgins to be inside of the top 50, but since he was injured week 1, he did not have projections in that range. So we are looking at every single wide receiver who for week 1 was outside of top 50, and that will persist throughout the entirety of this episode. The first set I'm going to look at is top 24 wide receivers. I want to look at top 24 wide receivers because a lot of my leagues have two wide receiver spots and three flex spots. If I'm truly playing the backup wide receiver strategy, I'm trying to replace a starting wide receiver spot because that way I can put everything into my running backs and those are the guys that will fill the flex, or potentially it's even tight ends. So I need my wide receiver to be top 24. Now I get that some leagues have three wide receiver spots, and so I'm going to look at top 36 later. But for right now, we're focusing in on top 24. When you're seeking out top 24 results, 58 wide receivers produced 132 total weeks. You only need four wide receivers to cover all 17 weeks of the season. Ladd McConkey, Darnell Mooney, Jameson Williams, and Andre Yosivas all combined to cover 17 weeks this season. I looked at that and I said, well, Ladd McConkey, he was worth about a late first before this season, so let me see if I can cut him out because it's not as often that you maybe were able to draft him in this offseason. Cutting him out, you still only need four wide receivers to cover all 17 weeks of the season. You could do that with Jameson Williams, Darnell Mooney, Calvin Austin III, and Rashad Bateman. Now, that looks great when you're talking about this from a best ball perspective. If you have the right wide receivers, you can luck yourself into having a top 24 wide receiver performance every single week. And I kind of guess that, because in one of my leagues, South Harmon Dynasty Degenerates, I barely have any wide receivers worth a name. And I know that I was getting wide receiver performances every single week where they were coming out in that top 24 range. So I know that this is possible, but it's going to be hard because you need to make sure you have the right wide receivers and you probably are going to want a lot of them. Now, of course, the way you want to look at this is not just from a best ball perspective, but from a lineup perspective. From a lineup perspective, you need to know how the projections are going to be. And the projections for top 24 are not great. Only five wide receivers outside of the top 50 ever had one week where they were projected for top 24 results. Those were Ladd McConkey, Josh Downs, Jamison Williams, Jawan Jennings, and Jacoby Myers. Yes, if you were one of those people that recognized Jacoby Myers is the perennial underrated guy, here's another indication that Jacoby Myers is somebody who nobody ever gives him the credit that he deserves. Of those five wide receivers, only four of them, Ladd McConkey, Josh Downs, Jawan Jennings, and Jacoby Myers, actually produced a top 24 week in a week that they were projected. Jamison Williams, every week that he was projected to be top 24, he was not top 24. And every week that he finished top 24, he was not projected to be top 24. So you only have those four guys. And they were projected for only a total of 26 top 24 weeks. Those were really heavily weighted too. Seven of those went to Ladd McConkey, seven to Jawan Jennings, eight to Jacoby Myers, and then three were for Josh Downs, and only one was for Jamison Williams. So, realistically, 22 of those weeks just came from having the right three guys, Ladd McConkey, Jawan Jennings, and Jacoby Myers. In addition to all of this, they only produced 10 top 24 weeks in those 26 projected weeks. Their hit rate was only 38%. That is really, really rough when you're trying to project good results and trying to get them to come from outside the top 50. So, when I'm looking at this for a lineup perspective, I'm going to say that it's just straight up not viable. It is not viable to try and get top 24 performances consistently out of backup wide receivers. For best ball, though, I noticed that it seemed pretty viable, and I wanted to see what does it look like in terms of what quality do you need for these wide receivers. And the way I decided to split it up, kind of like how I split up the running backs in terms of were they the number two or worse on their team, I split it up where are they the number one wide receiver for their position on their team's depth chart for week one. So, in total, we had 85 wide receivers listed on a team's depth chart at the first spot for week one. A lot of teams listed 11 personnel. 11 personnel would be three wide receivers, but there were 11 teams that did not. That's how we got to 85. Of wide receivers who had at least one week that they finished top 24, 24 of them were listed as a number one wide receiver on their team's depth chart in week one. 25 of them were listed as a number two wide receiver. 5 of them were listed as a number three wide receiver. And 4 of them were not listed on their offensive roster at all. 2 of them were due to injury, Ricky Pearsall and Kendrick Bourne. And 2 were on practice squads, Tim Patrick and Jalen Coker. So what that tells us is that there were a lot of wide receivers who were listed as number ones who ended up having a top 24 week. That's kind of to be expected because those guys are seeing the field a lot if their team is naming them as a starter. 24 of the 35 who were number ones but were outside of the top 50 in projections had a top 24 week at some point on the season. So I would want to try and roster those guys. Of the 72 number two wide receivers, 25 of them had a top 24 week. So if they were a number two, which means that they were likely the number four or number five wide receiver for their team and the backup to one of the other starting wide receivers, about a third of them still managed to produce a top 24 week some point over the season. Of anyone who was listed as a number three or on the practice squad, there were only 5 of them. And so I would hesitate to try and focus in on any of those guys if you're trying to include them in your lineup. The only reason would be if they are injured and you expect that they're going to return back to a useful spot in the lineup once they're healthy. I know this was something that I targeted a ton right before the season. When teams were releasing their depth charts for week one, I was all over trying to get as many of these guys as possible in my best ball leagues. To give you an idea of some of these names that you would have been able to target, that with hindsight being 2020, of course you wanted them. Calvin Austin III, Ray McLeod, Mac Hollins, Jamison Crowder, Olamide Zaccheaus, Alec Pierce, and Andre Yosivas. Every single one of those guys was listed as a number one wide receiver on their team's depth chart. And if you had gone out and gotten all of them, you would have gotten some amazing weeks. Alec Pierce had those couple weeks where he caught those huge bomb passes from Anthony Richardson, but almost nobody had him. Andre Yosivas, he still turned out some great weeks, even though you really only think of two wide receivers there in Cincinnati. And Jamison Crowder and Olamide Zaccheaus won some people some championships in best ball leagues simply by just being on somebody's roster in the event that they picked them up for those week 16 and 17 games. So for sure, if you are in a best ball league, you want to be picking up all of these wide receivers. Get as many of them as you can. So now I want to look at lineup leagues. Lineup, I don't have a solution for top 24, but I do have a solution for top 36. So if you have three wide receiver spots, I have a path for how you can substitute your last wide receiver with guys that are outside of the top 50. There are 75 unique players that get top 36 and are outside of the top 50 in week one. Only 17 players are actually projected for top 36 performances, though, and 11 players succeed when they're projected. Those guys are Ladd McConkey, Jalen McMillan, Josh Downs, DeMario Douglas, Jamison Williams, Rashid Shaheed, Jawan Jennings, Darnell Mooney, Darius Slayton, Jacoby Myers, and Adam Thielen. Across those 11 players, that totaled 46 weeks where there were performances within the top 36, and they were projected to be inside of the top 36. Now keep in mind, for running backs, this was 58 weeks in the top 24. And we considered running backs to be the position this year that did not get injured at the rate that they normally get injured. And wide receivers were the ones that got injured a little bit more than we were expecting. And so wide receivers having this few number of weeks just shows how hard it is to have a wide receiver that A, projects into the top 36 and then is also able to produce there. That shows why we weren't able to get anybody to be in the top 24 at a significant enough rate to be able to rely on it. So going off of purely projections, just like I did with the running backs, we had 17 total wide receivers reach top 36 projections. Out of those, three of them were rookies, so 14 of them were non-rookies, just to give you a good ratio to understand where these wide receivers might be coming from. Every player as well was listed as a number one at the time their team's roster lists came out. So you don't want to get any wide receivers who are listed as a backup if you're trying to play this strategy. You want to have guys that are listed as number ones. So we're reduced down to a pool size of 35 players. These are the players that are outside of the top 50, but still in those 85 wide receivers listed as a number one on their team's depth chart. So we had 17 wide receivers out of the 35, so that's right around a 50% hit rate. And how many receivers do we need in order to get top 36 projections every single week after week one? We can do it with just Jamison Williams and Jacoby Myers. The two of them actually combined to cover every single week of the season in terms of a top 36 projection. If you remove both of them, just because I want to try and get some different names in here, you can cover all 17 weeks with Ladd McConkey, Rashid Shaheed, and Adam Thielen. So already you're at the point of, okay, well, I removed two guys, and I still only need three. Now, I want to remove Ladd McConkey because he was a rookie worth a lot, just like I did earlier. And even with removing Ladd, it just changes it around to, okay, now all I need is Darnell Mooney, Jawan Jennings, and Rashid Shaheed. So, because two different guys got subbed out there, I think that is pretty definitive that if you have the right guys, and you have the expectation of, okay, I know that I'm aiming in this backup range. I really probably only need 3 wide receivers in order to cover top 36 for the majority of the season. There might be weeks here and there, just like with the running backs, that you don't need it, but I only need 3 wide receivers to fill all of it. Now, of course, you still need to get lucky on those 3 wide receivers, and so that's where the conclusion to this show comes. For lineup leagues, there is an average of 5 wide receivers per week. Until you get later to the season, then it's a little bit more. But more or less, 5 wide receivers per week that you can expect will have a top 36 result out of this entire data set. So that's about 1 in 7 chance for any wide receiver for any given week. That's based on the fact that we are going off of the 35 wide receivers that are outside of the top 50. So I'm looking at, you need 7 wide receivers to have the expectation that you will have one. Of course, just like the running backs, expectation and reality are two completely different things. With just 7 wide receivers, about a third of your weeks, you're going to need to come up with another wide receiver to plug in who's not one of those 7. So you'll need to go trade for a wide receiver, find somebody off of waivers if there's a wide receiver available on waivers, but that's probably also not going to be the case unless your league roster's less than 85 wide receivers. And so you're going to end up just trading a lot for these wide receivers. The strategy is not going to fit in with just 7 guys. So the way I like to do it is to try and shoot for a similar number as the running backs. So if you shoot for about 85%, that's 12 wide receivers. So for a lineup league, I'm going to aim for having 12 wide receivers out of that range of 36, 35. Like, that's honestly going to be kind of tough in terms of that you need to have a third of the players in that range. And I mentioned how I only want guys in that range. So with lineup, it's going to be really hard to pull off this strategy. You're going to need to do a lot of work if you're going to truly go for using up all of your spots on your roster for wide receivers. It's not as simple as quarterbacks and running backs, where you can supplement with some guys that are way outside of the range of the guys that are really close. And it all comes back to wide receivers, targets are earned. Wide receivers are the position where at the NFL level, if you're really good, you are going to succeed and you're going to get a bunch of balls thrown your way. And if you aren't, if you are a backup, you are not going to see that consistent volume. You might see some random spike weeks because wide receivers, they have really high variance in terms of their stats, but they're also going to be super inconsistent, and consistency is what we're looking for a lot of in fantasy football. So while I say, hey, you can go out there and get 12 wide receivers and that will reliably get you where you have at least one guy to slot in as a top 36 every single week, it's going to be really hard to get 12 of those guys. You need to have pretty unique league markets in order to say, yes, I'm going to get completely out of the receiver market. And if you're trying to get top 24 wide receivers consistently, it's just not even worth it. You might as well just invest the capital into getting a top 24 wide receiver, because the chance that you actually hit on a top 24 wide receiver outside of the top 50 wide receivers is just so low that I just wouldn't even attempt it. Now, if you are trying to do this in best ball, it's completely different. You have 4 to 6 top 24s per week, and each wide receiver on average gives you 2.5 weeks. So to cover the 17 weeks, you need a minimum of 7 wide receivers. And you have 58 total wide receivers to choose from. The 58 total wide receivers come out of a pool of about 100 players. So about 50% of wide receivers get you at least 1 week. So when you compare this to that number of that average of 2.5, it comes out to you need 14 wide receivers. However, if you adjust this so that way, okay, we're doing all of the number one wide receivers that were listed as the number one on their depth chart going into week one, 24 of 35 of them had a top 24 week. If you use those numbers and you fill it in, you only need 10 wide receivers. So keep this in mind compared to lineup. In lineup, I said I would feel like to be comfortable, I need 12. But in best ball, to get a top 24 every single week, I only need 10. And it just has to do with those projections. The projections are really, really hard to figure out at the wide receiver position. And because of the inconsistency of wide receivers, best ball is where they can really shine when they're outside of that range. So a lot of those performances are coming from the wide receivers who are outside of the top 36, having a top 24 spike week. Now, I mentioned that I only need 10 wide receivers if they're all in those 35, if they're all the number ones. And then if I want to replace them with number twos, that ratio is almost perfectly 1-2. So the way I'm going to look at it for my teams is I want to have 10 wide receivers in order to get one top 24 week every single week of the season. And all of those wide receivers need to be starting number ones on their team. In the event that I can't get all 10 to be starting number ones, which is probably going to be pretty common in a best ball league, for every one that I can't get, I need two number twos. If I can only get myself 7 number ones, then I need to make sure I'm getting myself 6 number twos to tack onto it. If I can only get myself 5 number ones that are in that 51 to 85 range, then I need to get myself an additional 10 number twos. And so that can explode the total number that I need. Notice that if I only have 5 number ones, which is still above the expectation is you'd have 3, if I can only get 5 of them, then I need to dedicate 15 spots on my roster to filling one spot in my starting lineup. That's not counting the fact that I want 2 for every position in my lineup. So if I'm trying to do this strategy, okay, I need, if it's a start 10 league, I'm dedicating 18 other positions on my roster to all those other players, and then 15 positions on my roster to just filling this one wide receiver spot. But it does mean that all of these wide receivers, if I am smart, I'm savvy, I'm picking up the right guys off of waivers, trading for the right guys from my other league mates, it is definitely a highly viable strategy to get consistent top 24 production out of these backup wide receivers, backup from a fantasy sense. And then backup from an NFL sense, the third wide receiver on a team who is still a starter, you're able to cover that position and fill that spot without having to invest heavy draft capital there. You aren't having to go and get those overpriced mid-range wide receivers because you're filling them in from that best ball perspective. So if you tuned out during all my explanations, in a lineup league, if you want a top 36 result for a wide receiver, I would go out and get yourself 12 wide receivers who are listed as number ones on their depth chart. And if you're in best ball and you want to cover one top 24, you want to get 10 wide receivers who are listed as number ones on their depth chart. Or for every one that you don't get a number one, replace it with two number twos. That's everything that I have for you this week. Go check out everything over at southharmonff.com. Check out the Patreon at patreon.com/southharmon. And as always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.